before we get into kind of what we heard over there, just I guess what is this day like for you? The end of the regular season, is this a day of reflection, or are you already focused on the tasks that are still to come this summer?
Well, I think it's important that you end every season with meetings with each of the players. The coaches have done that over the last few days, and those are more detailed meetings on, you know, very specific areas where players have to work. But my message is, you know, to different players is different things in terms of what they have to do in the off season, but not as hockey specific more. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's important to have those meetings and meet with the media. And then we'll have a breakup dinner for the players tonight. My teams do this every year. Ownership here is kind enough to say, even in a non-playoff year, we're going to have a nice dinner for the players and say thank you. And send everyone away and, you know, thank them. This team deserves thanks from us. They worked extremely hard. They had a good second half. I think it was a major development for our organization, and we're going to say thank you to them tonight. And then the work's already begun on the next phase. So
what is the tone kind of the exit meetings today?
Well, tone is this isn't good enough because we're watching the playoffs on TV, so this isn't good enough. But it does mark a shift in how we've poised ourselves for the future. It does change expectations for next year. I think a lot of people thought we'd finish dead last and probably felt that that opinion was validated by Christmas time. And then this team, you know, found itself. And, you know, like I said in the press conference, we played at a playoff clip from February or January 18th on. We played at a playoff clip. So mm-hmm. This isn't some short 2-week run. This isn't some, and this is why I'm hoping there's karma at the lottery tomorrow, because if one team made a statement that they weren't playing for a pick, it was this team.
What impressed you so much about that string from mid-January to the end of this season?
Well, I think the one-goal games, you know, like I think someone in the elevator said the other night we set an NHL record for one-goal games. I don't know if that's true.
Tied it. Tied it. 49, yeah.
Yeah, and so our team never quit. Our team competed for 60 minutes. Our team hung in there, and many of the games we lost narrowly. So I thought we showed a high battle level. I thought we showed consistency in sticking to the game plan. I thought we showed major effort. So I was impressed with this group. I really like this group of players. I really like them as people and like them as teammates. But we got to do better next year.
Brian Burke's with us, the president of hockey operations.
Brian, as someone who was fortunate enough to watch every game this year, I was so impressed by the progression of this team's core group. Did you see it the same way?
Yes. And I thought, you know, I was really nervous in November about this group. And I was wondering about, you know, when are some of these guys going to start to contribute? And, you know, Backlund was one, and TJ Brody was one, and, you know, Jonesy was one. And then you saw they responded to the coaching staff and started playing. I thought David Jones was playing great when he got hurt. So these are all guys that, you know, like from this tentative losing environment, they turn it into, you know, like I say, a playoff clip from January 18th on. So anytime you miss the playoffs, you can find a stat that makes your season look better. And I don't think that's what I'm doing here. I think the team we saw the second half of the season was very different than the team we saw the first half. And I think it's closer to what we can expect next year.
How much credit goes to the leaders in that room, your inner police here?
And I'm glad you asked that, Peter, because I meant to mention Gio when I talked about the culture shift. Mark Giordano, I think, was, you know, no question in my mind, was a driving force here. The coaches deserve most of the credit, but so does Gio, and so does the leadership group in the room. I think we're very fortunate to have a captain here that is a good player, cares deeply about the team. I think he had a good teacher in Jerome. But I think we're very fortunate to have Gio here as our captain, and I think the rest of the leadership group as well. So I think when you have a shift like that, I think the coaches deserve the most credit, but then I think the leadership group and the captain are right behind them.
You've mentioned scouting, and I think we all know, if we've been lucky to be around the business, that you get better by drafting well and developing, and you've brought it up every single time. Are you happy with that area? And again, you're about to have another really, really high pick. So again, it's another critical point, obviously, going forward.
It is. It's fourth pick overall, subject to lottery. We've got to get a player there that produces. We have to. And it is an important day for us. Draft day is that first round is critical for us, and so is the second and so on. And that is the rainbow when you miss the playoffs. That's the silver lining. And it's the only one. When you miss the playoffs, the silver lining for us is I think our second half is more indicative of our team than our first half. The second silver lining is you get rewarded with a high pick. And I will tell you, I've been on that show at TSN for, you know, at this draft lottery thing, and it's embarrassing. You know, you're not there. It's not, you're not, you're there because your team failed, and it's embarrassing. But it is the silver lining. If we ever got lucky enough to pull that off and pick first, if we pick fourth, or if we even drop a pick at five, we're happy with the group that's there. But you mentioned it, Peter, and it's critical. In a hard cap system, drafting takes on a much bigger life than it does in an open system. In a hard draft or a hard cap system, development takes on a life of its own too, way more than if you can spend freely. So those two keys are, it's not just what we do in Philadelphia at the draft, it's how we turn those young men into players. And I think we've done a good job with that with Abbotsford, and we'll continue to do that.
You've always preached that you're not a patient guy, you want to win. I mean, that's never going to go away, that's your personality, right? With that, and I know it's hard to answer the question, but how active do you think you might be this summer in terms of changes now that you've had, and I know how much time you've spent all around, forget about watching your own team, right? You spent a lot of time watching everybody in this league this year for where you're going to go. Is that fair?
Yes. And I think, first off, we need to get bigger. We need to get better. We had great internal development, and that's gonna really help us next year, but we need to add some pieces too. And so that'll be the focus. Hopefully it'll be the new GM's focus more than mine real soon. But that's the focus. And the guy that comes in is going to share my philosophy for, we want to play Alberta hockey. We want to play black and blue hockey. We think that's what our fans want. And more importantly, we know it's what we need to do to be successful in this conference. So that's the theme, is get bigger, get better. And that's going to be the priority for the summer.
Brian Burke's with us. From what you've seen and from your scouting staff, what do you make of where you might pick and the type of player you might be able to get there?
Well, it's an odd draft because there's, you know, up until the final rankings came out, there was only one defenseman in the top 10. So if you're a guy that likes to draft by position, which I'm not, it's a strange draft. It's very unusual to have no defenseman to choose from when you get to four or five. Now they move the Fleury kid up, so he's in the top 10, but still not in the top 5 or 6. So that leaps out at you. When you look at the ratings, you're like, you got Aaron Ekblad, and then you got a bunch of forwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we like the forward group. You know, that's if someone picking at 4 or 5 or whatever we end up lottery-wise, if someone takes a defenseman, you know, that's fine. We like the forward group that's there. There's skill there. You know, the Reinhardt kid, there's skill and grit there with the Bennett kid. There's size and skill there with the German kid. I can't say his name, Dreisaitl.
Dreisaitl, yeah.
And so there's a lot to like in that grouping. Richie's a power forward. There's a big hard-nosed kid in there. So there's really, if you're filling in your boxes on, you know, how we scout, which is a player's got to fill a box for us, top six, bottom six, whatever. There's guys that fill every different box on the forward group. So that part's cool. But having one defenseman in the top, you know, top 10 in the midterm rankings, yeah, that's very unusual.
Yeah. And it was kind of notable to a lot of people when you said Bob Hartley will coach here next season. I know a lot of people said, okay, there's a confirmation, but it seems like that was never in doubt in your mind.
No. No, and it's going to be part of the GM hiring process. Whoever takes this job is going to – Bob Hartley's coaching this team. He's taking the job on that condition. Bob Hartley and his staff, intact, are coaching this team. So anyone who's watched our team this year has to realize the impact that Bob's had, I think. And he won't get any votes for Coach of the Year, but he probably should. And he's coaching this team next year. And then again, as he's entering the last year of his contract, I'm going to encourage the new guy, spend some time with him this summer. And if you believe he is the guy, then mm-hmm. don't wait. Extend him now. So he's coaching with 2 years left on his deal.
How important was it for you to defend your coaching staff and your team after those comments from last night?
Well, I let it go the first time. After the first visit to Vancouver, I let it go because Torts is a buddy of mine. He's a good guy. This is just crossing the line. It's like, he's not complaining about the starting lineup. People who are listening should understand the beef. The beef, as I understand it, was that Bob had the audacity and the temerity to argue for penalties against Vancouver Canuck players while Daniel Sedin was on the ice. Well, when is he supposed to do it? Okay, so we have a play that we don't think is a penalty, right? So Paul Byron hits Daniel Sedin. Daniel Sedin goes down. And not diving. You know, not suggesting that at all. And we're glad he's okay. But this is a hockey play, not worthy of a penalty. And they say, well, the player's injured. We're giving him five. Okay. We can live with that. That's players down. You're going to get something, right? Now Paul Byron gets attacked. So the referee, as they're tending to Daniel Sedin, the referee comes over. He starts explaining the calls. And Bob says, what do they get? Paul Byron got punched in the head repeatedly. People look at the replay on the news tonight. And that's the sin that Bob Hartley created that led to this rant by Torts. I don't get it. Like, he's doing his job. He's not a trainer. He's not supposed to be out there tending to Daniel Sedin. He's supposed to be doing what he did. You can't argue it after the penalty starts. The five-minute major starts to run. He can't say, hey, by the way. So I don't get it. To me, it was throwing a rock for a guy doing his job, doing exactly what John Tortorella would have done had the roles been reversed. So I had enough of it. I let it go the first time. Nobody picks on my coaches.
Brian Burke's with us. Final one from me. Just overall, what is kind of the itinerary for you as you move forward? RFAs, UFAs, you got the draft coming up. How do you kind of divide your labor here over the next little bit?
Well, the priorities, make sure the top priority always is get ready for the draft, especially now we know where we're drafting. We will know tomorrow night. Once we know, now get ready for that. And then the GM search, and then we've got some staff, like the Abbotsford coaching staff, whose contracts are up. We want to address that. We've got some scouts whose contracts are up. We want to address that, and then start the GM search. So there is no off season. That's a misnomer. Mm-hmm. You're less busy at points during the year. There are no games played in July, but there's no off season.
And off to the draft lottery tonight, or you go tomorrow? How's
I'm going to go tomorrow morning.
Okay. Thanks for stopping by, as always. Really
My
appreciate
pleasure.
This.
Thanks, guys.
So he is Brian Burke, the president of hockey operations for the Calgary Flames, joining us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as the big show continues.